The first appointments are being made to Wisconsin's new Ethics Board and Elections Commission.
These two new groups will replace the Government Accountability Board, which was abolished under a recent law passed by the state legislature.
Joining us to discuss the appointments and what oversight we can expect to see from them is Jay Heck. He's the Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin. Jay, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you, Judith. Thank you. And before we get started, I want to urge my friends and listeners to call in with your pledge. Get one of these terrific bandanas.
Two.
Well, I wear them in the summer when I run, and in the winter, they're perfect handkerchiefs. So
there
call
you
right
go.
Now.
Unsolicited support from Jay Heck. Well, Jay, as a refresher, can you remind us what the Government Accountability Board was tasked with?
Well, the Government Accountability Board was a unique entity in the country, actually. It was the only entity that oversees elections, campaign finance, ethics, and the lobby law in the nation that was truly nonpartisan. It consisted of six nonpartisan retired judges who rendered decisions on those areas based on the law, not under their partisan predispositions or by direction from any partisan leader. And it worked very well. In fact, it worked so well that partisans in the legislature decided that they wanted to run the show rather than have nonpartisan retired judges, and they essentially eviscerated the nonpartisan part of the Government Accountability Board and again passed legislation, which Governor Walker signed, that creates two six-member commissions, one an elections commission, as you mentioned, one an ethics commission, but they are going to be, the members of those commissions are going to be selected by the partisan legislative leaders, and those folks themselves will be by and large partisan. So it's a step in the wrong direction from our standpoint. We'll see how this is going to go.
So how long had this unique institution been in place in Wisconsin?
Well, it had been in place for almost 9 years, and it was as a result of what had happened during something called the Legislative Caucus scandal back in 2002, when the top legislative leadership of both political parties were criminally charged with felony misconduct in public office. And it was in large part because the State Elections Board, which was comprised of partisan appointments, and the State Ethics Board at that time, was utterly incapable and asleep on the job and failed to uncover the corruption that was occurring in the Capitol. So the GAB, the Government Accountability Board, received bipartisan support from Republicans and Democrats, virtually unanimous, to have six judges, not partisan appointments, who were retired and who had a degree of independence from that partisanship. And it worked well. The problem, though, is that the particular party now in power decided they wanted to be able to control the decisions made by the GAB, not the retired judges.
So we'll talk about those appointees that are now going to be partisan appointees to these two commissions. But first, let's talk about what the new Elections Commission and Ethics Board are going to do. Are they going to cover everything that the GAB did before, or are there things that are just falling by the wayside?
Well, the function is supposed to be the same. They're supposed to look at violations of the law with regard to ethics and obviously campaign finance, lobby, and obviously elections. But the problem is that the way it's been set up is it's now going to be two six-member commissions with three Republicans and three Democrats on each of the commissions. And the problem with that is that if there is a 3-3 tie, which is pretty likely if you have partisan appointments being put on these two commissions, nothing goes forward. There is no action taken. And that's by design. The legislative leadership doesn't want the Government Accountability Board to be effective and to make the types of decisions based on the law that were being made from the period of 2007 to 2015, when it was effective. So it's really a weak setup that they've created.
So there's no mechanism, it sounds like, for in the case of a tie, X makes the decision, or nothing like that?
In the case of a tie, nothing goes forward. No action is taken. And this was designed after the Federal Elections Commission, which has the same sort of setup and is considered to be the most inefficient, ineffective federal agency in Washington, D.C.
So you said that for each of these new bodies, the Elections Commission and the Ethics Board, each will have six appointees, three done by Democrats, three done by Republicans. But how? Who actually decides who those nominees nominees are.
The legislative leadership, by and large, has a say in all of them. The legislative leadership selects the selects four of the six for the Ethics Commission, four of the six for the Elections Commission, and they submit the names of three clerks, the Democratic leader and the Republican leader, for the Elections Commission, and three retired judges for the Ethics Commission, which the governor then can choose from. But the members that are appointed by the legislative leaders, by that I mean the Speaker, the Senate Majority Leader, the Senate Minority Leader, and the Democratic leader in the Assembly, they are not subject to confirmation by the Senate. They serve at the pleasure of the legislative leaders, which is a dangerous recipe.
We're talking with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin, and we're looking at the new Elections Commission and Ethics Board. Those will take the place of Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think this change was needed? It's a good idea, or do you wish the state had kept the Government Accountability Board in place? What are you looking for, your hopes, your fears for oversight of elections and ethics in Wisconsin government? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We're continuing our conversation about the new Elections Commission and Ethics Board, which will take the place of Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board that's going to be disbanded this summer. Jay Heck is with us. He's the Executive Director for Common Cause Wisconsin. So, Jay, we were just talking about how these appointments are going to be made to these two new bodies. The appointments are starting to be announced. So let's talk first. In the Wisconsin State Journal, you did not seem terribly pleased with the appointment of Katie McCallum to the Ethics Board by Senate Majority Leader Scott Gerald. He's a Republican from Juneau. Why is that?
Well, Scott Fitzgerald, that's right. Well, here's the problem. Again, we were opposed to changing the composition of the GAB from nonpartisan retired judges who had independence from the legislative leaders. The way this works is that Fitzgerald appoints somebody who serves really at his pleasure, and so therefore likely will have to clear every decision she makes with him. That shows no independence. It was the legislative leaders in 2002, which were the folks that were in the Capitol committing the crimes. And so the folks that should be overseeing them and watching them shouldn't be reporting to them. Look, Ms. McCallum may be wonderful. She may be very well qualified to do certain things. Her background suggests that she's relatively young, not that that's a problem, but she's a partisan. She served as the Secretary of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. She served as a legislative assistant for a Republican member of the legislature, and she didn't go to law school, so I don't know what her background is, and it was not explained by Fitzgerald in his press release. It appears that she's someone who is a reliably Republican loyalist, which is exactly the type of people we don't need. Ann Jacobs, who was appointed by Senator Schilling as a Democratic member appointment to the Elections Board. She's a trial attorney from Milwaukee, the head of the trial lawyers at one time. She does have some experience in election law, so at least she has some background, and she's an attorney, so she likely knows what the law is. Nevertheless, she will be a partisan because that's what she's supposed to do with the way this setup is, but that doesn't serve the citizens of Wisconsin. That serves the partisan interests of the two political parties and the leaders. Now, the Democrats, no Democrat voted for the GAB to become this partisan entity. This was a strictly partisan vote. Republicans only, and Governor Walker signed it into law. So that should be made clear. But nevertheless, now that this is the law, the Democrats have to appoint partisans for the positions that are open to them.
So it sounds like these appointees can be really anybody that the leadership of either party wants to have there. There are no basic requirements that they have to meet.
There are no basic requirements. There's no resume that they have to have, no qualifications, and that's a real problem. You know, the old GAB, the former GAB, everyone had to be retired, and they were judges, and that was an incredible, important thing. The people of Wisconsin had confidence that they were going to make decisions that weren't partisan.
We're talking with Jay Heck, Executive Director for Common Cause Wisconsin. We're talking about the two new bodies that are going to be replacing the Government Accountability Board. And Ryan in River Falls is on the phone. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I guess my point was just that I don't really see how this is a good idea for the citizens of Wisconsin, because to me it seems like it's going to introduce more bias and more agendas and the ability for the different parties to do what forwards their interests rather than having a neutral party decide on things like that. So I just don't see it as a good thing.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Jay?
Ryan, you're exactly right, and that's why it was done. That's why the majority party, the Republicans, decided to do this. They wanted to control the decision-making outcome and the process. They didn't like the fact that there was an independent entity making decisions based on the law, not based on the partisan interests of the majority party.
So have we been hearing, we have one announced appointee to each of the new bodies. Have you heard any inklings or rumors about who else might be getting tapped for these positions?
Well, Judith, this will shock you, but the Republican leaders and the governor don't consult with me on their appointments to this commission, to the elections board or the ethics board. So, no, I don't. And again, that's going to be something that I think will be rolled out. These people will take formal control of the GAB as of July 1st. The six retired judges, the independent judges, will currently serve until June 30th. And so then the new process will begin July 1st, which is totally unfortunate because it'll be right before the August primary and then the November general election. We're likely to see, I think, some really controversial decisions made by the partisans on the GAB, or conversely, no decisions at all as they wrap themselves in 3-3 ties and nothing happens.
It seems like there's really no incentive or even an anti-incentive to either party to appoint someone who might be more nonpartisan, who would not necessarily follow those party lines as they get laid out because of the fact that it's 3-3. And if there's one person that might be a swing vote, it seems like that could be viewed as, well, why shoot ourselves in the foot?
Well, I think that's the problem, and that's how the partisans see them. That's how partisans see everything in terms of what could this do to hurt me, what could this do to help me, which is why it shouldn't be partisan. That's the whole point. And again, it's just so unfortunate that so many of the people in the majority party, the Republicans, voted for a nonpartisan board just 8 years ago, for this very reason, that you did not want to have partisan interests at the expense of the interests of the people of Wisconsin and of the law. And so this was just a blatant power grab on their part. And I think it's going to turn out to be a disaster, frankly. And it received no public support when it passed the legislature. This was rammed through on a partisan vote. And there were thousands of people who called in against this and wanted the GAB to remain nonpartisan, wanted the judges to stay. But the leadership decided that they weren't going to listen to the people and instead just do what they wanted. And so I'm afraid this is going to be something that's not going to sit well and is probably likely not going to turn out very well either.
So when we started the interview, you mentioned that the GAB, the nonpartisan GAB that we had in Wisconsin for this last almost decade, was unique. So could it be said that, well, you know, it's going away, but this is how pretty much every other state does it anyway?
What was unique about it is that it was formed because it was a bipartisan scandal where Republicans and Democrats were both complicit in scandal. So the solution had to be bipartisan and nonpartisan. That's why you haven't seen it anywhere else in the country. So it was great. Other states wanted to do it and would do it if they had the same set of circumstances.
Jay, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith. I appreciate it.
That was Jay Heck, Executive Director for Common Cause Wisconsin.
Remember, you can support conversations like this with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickert. Fishing is a huge part of Wisconsin's culture. Year-round, you'll see people on the water or on the ice trying their luck. Whether for fun, for sport, for food, or all of the above, fishing is a big activity in the Badger State. In fact, according to a census report from 2011, there are 1.2 million anglers here in Wisconsin.
The sport of fishing is going to be celebrated this weekend at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison as part of the first ever Wisconsin Fishing Expo. Dan Durbin is here with us to talk about it now. He's the co-owner of the Wisconsin Fishing Expo. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, weird a number there. Over a million of us like to get out fishing. You know, as we compare Wisconsin to the rest of the country, do you think of us as a fishing state?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're we're always in the top 10, and we'd be even higher than that if you don't consider some of the coastal states where they simply have all that salty water to fish. And, you know, revenue-wise, we're number three a lot of the times as far as non-residents coming to spend money on our tourism when it comes to fishing.
Now, we've heard here on Central Time about efforts to get women more involved in fishing. Is there a gender gap for anglers here in Wisconsin?
I think it's really closed since I was a kid, and it was male-dominated for sure. But as I got older, whether it was, fishing for fun or even I did some competitive tournament fishing, nowadays you're seeing lots of couples coming out there and enjoying it. And, it's definitely the gap's closed for sure. And a lot of different nonprofit groups are not only ran by women, but even the ones that are traditionally male are opening anything they want. I mean, it's been a real positive thing.
And how did you get started? You mentioned you started when you were a kid. Was this something that was handed down in your family?
Well, yeah, kind of my dad's grandpa or my dad's dad, and handed it to him, and he handed it to me, and I guess it definitely was him that got me into it. Now I'd be the one knocking at his door at 5 a.m, asking if we can go fishing, even if it was too windy or too rainy. And so that's how it all got started. And that's, I think one of the important things is getting these kids out there fishing who may not have a parent who fishes, because it all starts with them.
Yeah. Are you seeing a new generation picking up the rod and reel?
Yeah, I would say we are. I mean, there's just more ways to do it now, with more public access, more piers, more bank fishing where you don't necessarily have to have a boat. That's just all better access. It lets families get out there and enjoy it. The DNR is very active in having, free license days, which obviously kids don't need a license to fish until they're 16. But the importance of those free license days is it gets the mom and dads out there to give it a taste, and you got to teach them so they can teach the kids. And definitely, I would say it's a movement. It's sometimes slowed down by team sports, which I do a lot of coaching of that, but you got to get them fishing early or they may not do it.
Talking to Dan Durbin, he's with the Wisconsin Fishing Expo, talking about fishing in the state and this weekend's event. And Dan, let's visit the expo now. Now, this is the first year as the Wisconsin Fishing Expo. It's kind of a descendant of a more local Madison Fishing Expo, right?
Yeah, exactly. We kind of say we've spawned from the Madison Fishing Expo. They had a good run for 30 years, and we owe all everything to those guys and gals. I mean, that pretty much was a coalition of nonprofit fishing groups and clubs in the area that started off with a handful of guys in a gym, and it just kept growing and growing. And I think part of that was because of the organicness of the show, with all the people that really had some skin in the game, and it wasn't all about profit. It was, let's have a great fishing show, let's bring exposure to fishing, and let's get as many kids and families involved as we can. And those guys, we've been working with them for over 20 years doing their marketing and attending the show for Wisconsin Outdoor News, and just got to know them. And bottom line is they were getting up there and they wanted to hand over operations to a group that they trusted and wanted to continue their mission statement.
Well, talk about this weekend's events. Are you bringing in those fishing groups, fishing communities from around the state?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the reasons we changed it to Wisconsin Fishing Expo is because we wanted to try to expand. And we knew that through demographic surveys that there were a lot of people all over the state coming. And but as far as groups, I mean, there's various nonprofit groups that are coming from anything that's very vertical, like muskie and bass nonprofits that are there to grow their membership and teach people, to more broad-based stuff, whether it's Wounded Warriors in Action, Take a Vet Fishing. There's some women's groups that'll be there. We are definitely on board with the nonprofits and trying to give back. But there's also just a ton of new stuff as well.
Let's get back to the kid and family theme. What kind of things are you doing at the expo to try to get them into fishing?
I think one of the coolest things we have, two of the days we have a 101 seminar on getting kids in fishing that Greg Karch gives out. And it's not just a show up and grab your gear and run. I mean, he's teaching the kids and the parents at the same time some very basics so they get dialed in on the sport. And actually, when the kids walk away, if they graduate his seminar, We're giving away 150 different rod and reel combinations throughout the weekend. So that, I mean, they're going to be ready to go, right? When they walk out the door, they're going to be casting someplace. And, you know, there's a bunch of other kids' activities, too, from, you know, free face painting and balloon tying to fun stuff like minnow races that are real. And it's all real, you know, throw a buck in and you do the minnow race and have fun. And we have a trout pond, which is not uncommon at these shows. But a cool thing about ours is we're actually tagging fish in the trout pond. So they can win prizes, and they don't just go home with that fish to enjoy, but walk away with some gear at it, too.
Well, let's get back to a little tour of fishing around the state. Now, of course, we see people out on the ice right about now. That's going to be thawing soon. What are the first signs of spring for the fishing season in Wisconsin? What kind of things are you looking for? Where are people going? What are they looking for?
Well, you know, I guess as the ice starts to deteriorate, I'm one of the first ones off because I'm not one of these cats that takes their vehicle out there. My wife wouldn't allow it, and I don't want to do it. But it's a transition period right now where I think you've got the last people that are hanging on ice fishing, and then everybody's gearing up to go walleye fishing. As the rivers open up, obviously the current's going to open the waters up quicker. So right now I think a lot of people are chomping at the bit to get out there and wait for their local river to open up, whether it's, you know, the Mississippi or the Wisconsin or even the Rock River. Some of these metro rivers are really good as well.
And then what are some of the big summer fish that that people are out angling for?
Well, I mean, Wisconsin is totally diverse, and a lot of it is, you know, a lot of anglers out there are very vertical. So the musky guys, they're crazy. I mean, there's their own niche group that, I mean, it's all things ESOC. And, you know, it's a weird, even some of the most pressured waters on the state, like Pewaukee Lake in Waukesha County, for instance, more people fish that thing per acre than anywhere else in the entire state. But that thing produces muskies, just a crazy amount of muskies. You know, the Madison chain's real popular as well. If you're a bass person, you can go, I mean, all those metro lakes have really good populations of largemouth bass. And actually, if you're a smallmouth guy or gal, Sturgeon Bay has been voted the number one bass fishing destination in the entire country by Bassmaster magazine. And it's a true resource that it's not so much a secret anymore, but I mean, people are coming from all over. Tournaments are coming from all over. You know, it can go on and on. If you're talking walleyes, you're talking various systems there. Pan fishing, that's good throughout the area. Sometimes it's a bit tough to catch keepers, but there's a bunch of different rules and regulations that are being put in place now that are going to help a little bit in the conservation end of things and maybe improve the overall experience.
I've been thinking mostly of Wisconsin people fishing Wisconsin, but how big a draw is fishing as a tourism attraction?
Yeah, I mean, it was we were number three back in 2014, I believe, in that, you know, people out of state spent $500 million in our state to fish it. So we're getting a bunch of that Illinois money, you know, when they get us for the tolls, we at least get some of it back on the lakes. But I, you know, it's a blessing to be in this state, and there's so much and there's such a variety of things to offer, whether you're in state or out of state. The licenses are real cheap. They're very affordable. The DNR has this new Go Wild system, a new licensing system this year that it's going to be help people engage more on their homepage and offer a bunch of different seasonal opportunities for people. So right now they'll be talking about, you know, spring walleye, and then it's going to move on to, you know, bass fishing. And so a lot of, I don't think more than any time in the past for people getting into the sport, there's just so much out there to help them out.
And I think of fishing a lot of time as a solitary activity or just a couple people on a pier or out in a boat. Do you feel like there's a community of fishing people here in Wisconsin?
In terms of like clubs, I'm not sure what you're saying.
I mean, do you feel like when you get together at an expo like this, like, hey, yeah, these are kind of your spiritual kin from around the state?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like the Harley guys who give a little when they drive
exactly.
by each other, say a little wink. Yeah. I think in terms of fishing, there is a lot of bonding there, and it doesn't matter really what your species is or whatever. But I think in general, fishermen and fisherwomen are very courteous to one another. They, you know, respect each other. You can see it at the boat launch when somebody's struggling to back down and get in the water. you know, you help them out, you know, and if you see a kid and you're fishing on the bank and he's having a struggle, you help him or her get the line tied back on or untangled. I think there's definitely a real bonding there that doesn't matter what gender. I don't see anything like that. So definitely, I totally agree with you there.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're talking to Dan Durbin. He's co-owner of the Wisconsin Fishing Expo going on this weekend in Madison.